Good morning from New Orleans. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
My choice for the vice presidency is Senator Dan Quayle of Indiana.
A Louisiana Cajun might have asked in his distinctive patois, who dat? George Bush surprised just about everyone with his choice of the little-known 41-year-old senator and his quick announcement, which came as he stepped off a Mississippi River steamboat to take command of this GOP convention. Reaction in and around the Superdome ran the gamut, as Mike Pulsifer reports.
It was mostly positive, with even those who really wanted someone else saying they have no problem with Quayle. Delegate Ken Brownlee of South Carolina supported Gene Kirkpatrick and first said he is disappointed. But then something else occurred to him.
There's some talk about her being Secretary of State. That would thrill me to death.
Among Republican insiders, there are differences. Former Reagan White House political director Ed Rollins.
Quayle's unknown by this group and unknown as a national campaigner. But in the final analysis, he may turn out to be a very good, very effective campaigner. I think there's a conventional wisdom, though, you don't pick someone that's untested. He's now, in the next 2-3 weeks, got to prove how good he is. And I think that, obviously, he's got to go after the younger voters, the Midwest voters, and he's got to wait and see.
Rollins wanted Jack Kemp to get the nod and says he is disappointed. But Kemp says he's not.
He's terrific. It's going to be a strong ticket.
California delegate and state senator Ed Davis, a former Los Angeles police chief, thinks Quayle has what it takes.
Dan Quayle is supposed to be almost a scratch golfer. Anyone who can do the great job that he's done and still keep his golf game that sharp has to be a fine man.
Delegates at this convention are quickly learning about Dan Quayle, but a lot of Americans are still wondering, who is he? Congressional correspondent Phil Jones shed some light on that question.
When Dan Quayle came to the U.S. Senate in 1980 on the coattails of Ronald Reagan, many thought it was a political accident. But he's worked hard, been fortunate enough to get key committees, budget, armed services, and labor and human resources, all perfect committees for him to build his conservative base. There are few defects in that conservative record, strong on defense, anti-abortion, anti-equal rights amendment, while voting consistently for school prayer, weaker gun controls, balanced budget, and aid to the Contras. Quayle is not viewed by his Senate colleagues as a heavyweight in the world's most exclusive club. In fact, there are those who have described him as a blow-dried, Robert Redford-looking senator, an overgrown kid. But Quayle is in some ways underestimated. He's a good speaker, an above-average debater, and a superb campaigner. All things that the Republicans desperately need if they're to come back by November. Bill Jones, CBS News, New Orleans.
During last night's speechmaking, many delegates restlessly roamed the aisles or headed for the exits early on. New Jersey Governor Thomas Kane's keynote address was loaded with political code words. He branded the Democrats pastel patriots for their convention color scheme and said he was shocked by the comments of one Dukakis Democrat.
He said Democrats' advice to special interests was, and now I'm quoting, just shut up. Gays, women, environmentalists, just shut up and you will get everything you want after the election. In the meantime, just shut up so we can win.
Former President Gerald Ford chose to answer Senator Kennedy's rhetorical question in Atlanta, where was George?
So where was George? For 45 years, George Bush has been at the center of the action in the service of this great republic. I'll be damned if I will stand and let anyone with a smirk and a sneer discredit the honor, service, accountability, and competence of George Bush.
Televangelist ex-candidate Pat Robertson, with only 35 delegates to his name, released them to George Bush after a speech attacking the Democrats for slighting God in their platform.
Michael Dukakis is a card-carrying member of the ACLU. As you know, that's an organization dedicating to removing all public affirmation of religious faith in America. As president, Michael Dukakis will pack the federal courts with ACLU radicals.
Later this morning, Bush and Quayle hold a joint news conference, and then tonight, delegates go through the roll call ritual of nominating Bush for president. On Thursday, Quayle will be nominated by acclamation, and both men will deliver their acceptance speeches. I'm Bill Lynch in New Orleans. The World News Roundup continues now with Judy Muller in New York.
The Dukakis campaign is wasting no time criticizing Bush's choice. Campaign spokesman Mark Guerin, noting Quayle's multimillionaire status, said, "I think they'd make better tennis partners than a presidential ticket," adding, "or should that be squash partners?" Dukakis hits the campaign trail today, a four-day swing through seven states, several of them in the South, in an effort to steal some of the spotlight from Bush. It's coming up on 6 past the hour. A train wreck in the Soviet Union. Soviet officials say 17 people were killed and more than 100 injured. Bill McLaughlin reports.
The train wreck took place last night halfway between Leningrad and Moscow. The Aurora, a high-speed passenger train, was traveling towards the Soviet capital when it flew off the rails. According to TASS, the official Soviet news agency, a fire erupted in the dining car, which soon engulfed the entire train. TASS says that road conditions made it difficult for fire engines and ambulances to reach the crash site. A government commission has already been set up to investigate the tragedy, an unusually swift move by Soviet standards. And the Soviet leadership has offered its condolences to relatives of the victims. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, Moscow.
North Korea is sending signals that it might reverse its boycott of the Olympic Games and take steps aimed at ending 40 years of hostility with South Korea. The North agreed today to meet with the South this Friday, the first such meeting in 3 years. The talks would center on a possible joint session of the two countries' national assemblies to discuss the Olympics and a non-aggression treaty. It's 8 past the hour. Now that Jordan has ostensibly severed its ties to the West Bank, the Palestine Liberation Organization reportedly is grappling with a plan for PLO leader Yasser Arafat to declare a provisional government. According to Palestinian officials quoted in the New York Times, that provisional government would explicitly recognize Israel. The move would be announced by Arafat at a common market meeting in September and then would be immediately ratified by the Palestine National Council. The Commerce Department says this morning new housing construction was up 2.4% in July, but fears of rising interest rates sent building permits down 5.4%. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 1.78 at 2023.29. Buy them on the big board, 37 million shares. It's 7:10.